Well, good morning, Northridge Church. Thank you for coming out today. We haven't even said anything. We're already getting applause.
That's great.
Very, very welcoming. Thank you so much. My name is Mark Dudley, and I am one of the large group storytellers for our Northridge Kids Ministry here at the Rochester campus.
And my name is Drew Dudley, and I'm a fourth and fifth grade small group leader at the Brighton campus.
Yeah, and we're really excited to be here today. In fact, you know, and on this family weekend, you might be wondering, are these two fine gentlemen related in any way? So let me put that wonder to rest for you. Yes, Drew happens to be my youngest son, and I am excited to be up here with him today. Drew, listen, buddy, we rehearsed this. Let's go.
Okay. Oh, right, yeah. On this family weekend, there is no place that I'd rather be than on stage with my dad.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. Thank you for sharing from your heart, Drew. I appreciate that. Well, I don't know about you, but I have learned a lot about myself and a lot about God through this storyteller series that we've been going through this summer. And Drew and I have a very special delivery for you today in the form of not one, but two different stories that Jesus will tell. So, Drew, I think we should just get right into our story.
Whoa. No story until we do our memory verse.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I forgot. Every month, we have a memory verse that we go over with the kids. It just kind of frames the entire theme, kind of tells why we are telling the stories for that particular month. And, Drew, what's our memory verse for this week?
It is 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that while we were still sinners, that we should be called children of God, and so we are.
Yeah, no, thanks, Drew. I really appreciate that. You kids might remember this memory verse from a couple of months ago. Drew doesn't, but hey, we're going to be all right. All right. So one of the things that we like to do in large group is we like to creatively look for ways to get this verse into the kids' minds and into their hearts. And thankfully, our Rochester Kids Director, Maddie Bacacci, gives us a great video that we go through every week. So check out the screen.
Hey Northridge kids, let's practice this month's memory verse together. This month we are working on memorizing 1 John 3:1. Let's go ahead and say that together and then we will jump into some signs. Here we go. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Okay, let's practice some signs to help us memorize this verse. The first sign is the sign for love, and to do that, you're just gonna cross your arms on your chest. Again, for love, you're just gonna cross your arms on your chest. Okay, let's try that while saying 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Great job. The second sign we're going to practice is the sign for given. And to do that, you're going to pinch your thumb to your fingers and then gesture forward. Again, thumb to fingers and then gesture forward. Okay, let's put both of those together and say 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Okay, the third sign is the sign for children. And to do this, you're just gonna pat your hands like this, as if you're touching people's heads. So pat your hands like that, and that's for children. Awesome job. Okay, let's put all three together, and we'll say the verse. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Great job. Okay, the last sign you all probably know, and that's the sign for God. And to do it, you're just gonna arc your hand down like that. Again, to do the sign for God, you're just gonna arc your hand down like that. Okay, let's put all those together and say our verse nice and loud wherever you are. Here we go. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Awesome job.
Good job, everybody.
All right, I'm loving it. Yeah, good participation. You guys are getting it down. So, you know, we said the verse, what, like 10 times? So I think we're probably good for our story now. So
Wait,
what?
See, because this is Kidsmen.
Right.
We also have our small group environments, and I have an activity for us.
Okay, so we're going to do an activity. All right, and so I figure this activity is probably related to the memory verse for this week. Is that the case?
Oh, I think you're right, Mr. Dudley. In fact, I have with me my handy-dandy board. And because we've only said our memory verse about 6 times, I figure we need to go over it a couple more. I have the entire verse here, and I have words that are removable. Ooh. Oh, man, are you guys ready? We're going to say this 3 times. We're going to say it once with all the words, and I'm going to start taking them off. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are.
1 John 3:1.
Ooh, here come the words. All right. Are you guys ready for this? I don't think you are.
This is like a summer verse. You know, some words are here, some are here, some are here. All right, thank you.
All right, verse on 3, 2, 1.
See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. 1 John 3:1.
And wow, okay.
Here
you don't
we
have
go.
To take them all off. I mean, come on. I mean, the kids already know this, but their parents are really suffering at
That's
this
what
point.
I'm saying. I mean, yeah. Shout out to all my kids and Kidsmen. All right, last one. 3, 2, 1.
See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are.
Awesome job, you guys.
All
Give
right.
yourselves a
Thank
hand.
You guys. Nice work, Drew. Thank you. While you're putting that board back together, it is time to get into our story. In fact, our two parables today come from the Gospel of Luke. Now, I often say that the Bible is a collection of books, 66 different books. So in a way, it's kind of like a library of 66 books that are all brought together into one. Now, even though there are 66 different books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, there aren't 66 different stories. In fact, there is one big story throughout the entire Bible. And that's God's big story.
And God's big story really starts with creation, where God created the entire world and everything in it, including us. And he made us specially in his own image. The second part of that is the fall of creation and how we sinned against God by doing what he told us not to do. And it's interesting because those two spheres are encapsulated in the first 3 chapters of Genesis. And it's so interesting that the rest of the Bible is all of the next 2 parts that we're gonna see right now.
Absolutely. In fact, when we fell, when we sinned, we were separated from God. But God didn't wanna leave us separated from him. So what he did was he sent his son Jesus to redeem us, to pay the price, to free us from the consequences of our sinfulness. And what God is doing now is he is restoring the world back to the way it was before sin entered it, back to the way that he wants it to be.
I just can't wait until that restoration is in full effect.
Yeah, and it's in full effect when Jesus comes back and we're not going to have to deal with sin anymore. So now we are in the Gospel of Luke, and so I thought it might be interesting to kind of ask the question, okay, who was Luke? And maybe give a little bit of a few facts about him. So Drew, what have you got for us?
Well, there's a lot of things about Luke that we know from Scripture. Number one, that he was a doctor. Paul called him a beloved physician. And he had his doctoral skills. I'm sure Paul took full advantage of Luke bandaging him up after every imprisonment. The second one that we know for sure is that he's a follower of Christ, that he was a disciple of Christ after he died, and that was very helpful. He was going and spreading the word and aiding churches in their goal as well. And then he also traveled with Paul, which again, with all the shipwrecks and snake bites that Paul was going through, I mean, super helpful stuff that he was a doctor.
Yes, and we see these different aspects of Paul in the book of Colossians, in the book of Philemon, in the book of 2 Timothy, and further on through some of the other books of the Bible. In fact, we know that Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and that he also wrote the book of Acts. And Acts is short for Acts of the Apostles. Basically, what that book is, it's a chronology of the early church, how the early church started, how the disciples and apostles of Jesus went through the entire world spreading the good news about his gospel.
And I love Acts because it's kind of like a roadmap for how us Christians should live our lives post-Christ, and how we should be reaching out to people, and we should be attending churches, and we should be aiding all of other followers in our walks.
Yes, it's a great blueprint for the church today. So our stories today come from the book of Luke in chapter 15. And we kind of gave this title as to the lost parables. That's what we're talking about.
Lost? They're in Luke 15. We found them.
No, I'm the dad. I do the dad jokes, all right? But that's fine. You just stay in your lane, okay? All right, even though we're talking about two different stories there is one nugget of truth. There is one bright idea that we just want everyone to come away with, and that is Jesus sees value in everyone.
Let's hear it. 3, 2, 1. Jesus sees value in everyone.
All right, check out part one of the story.
Tax collectors and other people who were considered to be sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was hanging around with such sinful people, even eating with them. In response to the religious leaders' reaction, Jesus told the people a story about a shepherd and his flock of sheep. Jesus said, "If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, what would he do? Wouldn't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Once the shepherd finds his lost sheep, he's so happy that he puts it on his shoulders and carries it home. When he arrives, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.'" Jesus explained to those who had come to listen to him that just as the shepherd rejoiced over finding his lost sheep, there is more joy in heaven over one lost person who turned away from sin and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and never strayed.
All right, so Drew, we were talking about this story a little earlier as we're doing some preparation, and some of it kind of struck you funny.
Yeah, like, I'm not leaving my 99 sheep to go see the one. I mean, they're going to get picked off by a coyote or something. Leave the one sheep for Mary. I heard she needed a little lamb somewhere.
Yeah, that's cute. All right. So, well, you know what? To tell you the truth, some of the stories that Jesus told absolutely shocked his hearers. And he was talking about things, and people were just like, what? That actually happened? In fact, Drew mentioned last week, as he was talking about the parable of the lost son, that Jesus' ministry was getting very, very popular. He was drawing bigger and bigger crowds. And in fact, in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. It says the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. So this was quite a crowd. I mean, to have tax collectors and sinners actually attracted to somebody who was holding out right living, who was holding out the holiness of God, must have meant that Jesus was completely different than the other teachers, and he was.
I mean, he was the most compelling teacher of all time. I know I would have tried to be there.
Absolutely. In fact, there were other people that were there too. They were the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But they had something that they said to Jesus about Jesus all the time. In Luke chapter 15, verse 2, it says, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said, 'This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" They weren't excited about that. That was something of an accusation that they were leveling against him.
I don't know what the big deal was. I ate with sinners last night. It may have been family dinner.
All right, yeah, all right. All right, but here Jesus knew what was in their hearts, and Jesus knew that he had to do something to address their attitudes and also to address the sinfulness of the people that were listening to him. So he told this story. He says this in Luke 15:4. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Won't he leave the 99 in the open country?" And everybody was thinking, what?
What's so special about that one sheep?
Well, obviously the shepherd saw great value in going after that sheep. He knew that that sheep was valuable and he needed to pursue it. So here's what Jesus said in Luke 15:4. He said, "Won't he go and look for the one lost sheep until he finds it? Then when he finds it, he will joyfully put it on his shoulders and go home." Now, as the shepherd, though, was putting it on his shoulders and going home, he was inviting his shepherd friends, he was inviting his neighbors and his other friends and saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep."
Man, it's a big old shepherd party in here.
It sounds like a pretty good time. But Jesus said, "Hey, listen, this is just a little picture of what happens in heaven when one sinner turns from their sin and turns toward God." In Luke 15:7, here's what Jesus says, "I tell you, it will be the same in heaven. There will be great joy when one sinner turns away from sin."
So we were the sheep that ran away, and God is the shepherd that chased, that left all of the other sheep and chased after us.
That was exactly the point he was trying to get across. In fact, Jesus really wanted to emphasize this point again, so he told another story. Check out part two.
To make sure everyone understood his point, Jesus then went on to tell the group another story. Jesus said, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Wouldn't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house, searching carefully until she finds it? When the woman finally finds the lost coin, she calls in her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me because I found my lost coin.'" Jesus explained the meaning of the story by telling the people that the kind of joy the woman felt when she found her lost coin is the same joy angels in the presence of God experience when even one person turns away from sin.
So here Jesus turns the focus from a lost sheep to a lost coin.
I get this one way more than the last one.
Wait, how so?
So we have a vending machine at work, and I dropped a quarter and it rolled straight under the vending machine.
Okay, so all right, that's really good. So probably what you did then is you crawled underneath the vending machine, got all dusty and sticky and dirty, and you grabbed that quarter.
No.
What do you mean, I bummed
the quarter off my friend Sean.
All right, well, your friend Sean isn't part of this story, and I'm sure this woman could have used somebody like that. However, this woman saw a lot of value in that coin. Jesus starts the story, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the house? Won't she search carefully until she finds the coin?" So here the woman sees such value in that coin, she's literally tearing the house apart, trying to look for it, trying to find it. And guess what happens next?
There's a party.
Well, first she finds the coin. I knew you'd be focused on the party. Okay, first she finds the coin. And in Luke 15:9, here's what the Bible says. "And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors together. She will say, 'Be joyful with me, I have found my lost coin.'" So again, these two parables are very, very much alike. And what they do is they show something that was lost, somebody who is pursuing that lost thing, somebody finding that lost thing, and throwing a party.
It's such a great example of what we're going through in our walks right now, that we're being actively saved every single day from sin by a God who loves us so much.
Yeah, in fact, what we're talking about too is we're talking about parables. So I know that's not a word that we usually say nowadays. So Drew, if somebody came up to you in small group and said, "Mr. Drew, can you explain to me what a parable is?" What would you tell them?
Well, I've heard a lot of definitions. Being from Kidsmen, I mean, the kids come up with some wild stuff. But I think the best definition I've heard is that it's a heavenly or an earthly story or example with a heavenly meaning.
Yeah, so Jesus brings common objects, common experiences that people would be very familiar with to show them what God is like, to show them the mission that he had in coming to earth.
So the coin and the sheep are the earthly objects that he's using, and the heavenly meaning is that he's rescuing us from our sin.
Yes, and Jesus wants us to be turned in that direction. In fact, what he said was, "Hey, I told a story about a woman. I told a story about a shepherd. I am that shepherd. I am that woman. I am the one that is looking for people who are lost, who are far from God, and bringing them back to God, reconciling them with the God that loves them."
It's so amazing. I'm so glad we have a God that creates all of us and all of the entire world and yet still has time out of his day to take us from our sin and bring us with him in heaven.
Yeah, and that's why Jesus came to earth at all. He came to earth in pursuit of people who were far from God. And in dying on the cross, he paid the price to save us from the consequences of our sin. And he rose again in victory over death, proving that he is exactly who he said he is. And in fact, you know what was really interesting? Later in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talked about this a little bit more. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus?
Yeah, didn't he like climb a tree or something?
Yeah. Zacchaeus was a short guy. He was a tax collector. And what he did was he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to experience Jesus. And of course, he couldn't see over the crowd being a short guy. So he climbed a tree and he sat there and waited for Jesus. Jesus walked by. And what did he say to Zacchaeus?
Oh, he said, Zacchaeus, come down there. We're going to have a dinner at your house. We're going to have Taco Bell. I'm going to eat a chalupa. It's going to be a great time.
Well, sort of that's what he said. He definitely did the dinner part. In fact, Jesus said something to Zacchaeus that was extremely important, and that was really part of our parables today. In Luke 19:10, here's what Jesus said. The Son of Man, Jesus loved to call himself the Son of Man, came to look for the lost and to save them. And here is what Jesus saved us from. He saved us from the consequences of our sin. He saved us from sin's penalty, which is death or separation from God. He saved us from sin's power, which is slavery. Jesus himself said, if you sin, you are a slave to sin. And he saved us from the presence of sin. He saved us from this broken world. And this broken world is evidenced by internal and external forces that really show us that this world is not our home.
I know I felt all of the consequences and all of the forces of sin in this life. So I cannot wait to be out of here and in heaven and having a big party with Jesus, free of all this stuff down here.
It's going to be a great day. In fact, Jesus is still looking for lost people today. Our memory verse from last month, I bet the kids remember this one too, Matthew 28:19. All right, you know this one, right?
I know this one.
All right, that's good.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Right, that's exactly what God wants us to do. That's exactly what he wants us to be all about.
I think I've earned my swag tag.
Oh, absolutely true. No, that's awesome that you bring that up. Swag tags are what the kids receive when they say their memory verse. And it has this month's theme on it. And it also has that memory verse so that they can be reminded of what they learned and how good God is to them. But again, our bright idea is this, is that Jesus sees value in everyone. Let's say that again together.
Jesus sees value in everyone.
And thank God that he does. You know, I've been involved with Kidsmen for a little over 20 years now, in some capacity, just serving the children of both Northridge and other churches. And I don't know, I'm just so thankful that Jesus sees value in our kids and that he's continually reaching out to them through me. And Drew, I know that he does that through you too in small group.
Yeah, it's all about hitting the kids' hearts, right? It's about getting to where they are in their life. Your kids here might be going nuts because it's not as entertaining as our kids' ministry environments, you know? We're all about activities. We're all about dancing. We're all about singing as loud as we can. We're all about fun things like reading our memory verse and coming up with creative ways to help them learn it. I'm able to have personal experiences with these kids. I know one of my kids' fish died recently, and he was very, very broken up about it. And it was a great gateway to say, hey, you know, this place isn't our home. Death and dying happens here. And, you know, up in heaven after this life, there's a place where that stuff won't happen anymore and we'll be free from the penalty, power, and presence of sin.
And it's really cool for Drew because in small group, he can really have a great relationship with the kids. Being a large group storyteller, I don't know their names, but Drew's intimately involved with their lives. Do they have a great family life? Do they struggle in math? Do they have a pet that died? And he is able to apply the story and the scriptures to their experience and to their circumstance. And maybe you're interested in joining joining us in Kidsmen. Maybe you have a passion for creatively sharing God's word, or you know that you would love to be able to relate to kids the way that Drew does in small group. If that's the case, go to iwant.info, indicate your interest in that, and somebody will follow up with you, and you will be able to make better disciples, more and better disciples of Christ, and they will all be from fifth grade on down to kindergarten. So let's pray and thank God for the parable today. God, we want to thank you that Jesus sees value in everyone. I can't believe that he does, God, but I'm so thankful that he came to save us from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. We're excited about that. We love that. I just pray, God, that we would be participating in you reaching lost people through us, that you will bring people to yourself through the preaching of your word, through us being friends, and through us just communicating the gospel to people who are far from you, people who are lost. Thank you for this time that we can reflect on the gospel of Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.